sort of particular actual reality of what happened back at when Jesus was born. In the last couple of years, we've had a set of what the houses were actually like, with a manger in the house rather than out the back. And you may have missed it, but at the beginning of the play this year, Chris said that on the second or third Christmas, because it's most likely the case that the wise men did not appear on the very night that Jesus was born, but maybe even a year or two later than that. And we get that by carefully reading the original records of what actually happened. And so I'm going to sort of read part of those records that were written by a guy called Matthew, and these will be very familiar to most of us, but I'm going to read it for us now. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. The theme for our Christmas season this year is the Christmas window. And I've been thinking a bit about windows. You probably have some beautiful windows in your house that you get to look out at, right? Some of you may well have gone and done some window shopping already. And there's probably two sorts of window shopping that you've done. You've done physical window shopping, right? But then you've probably also done online window shopping. I don't know what you call it if you've got an Apple computer, not a Windows computer. Yeah. But when we go and look at windows, we tend to look in them, is that right? Have you ever been walking around your neighbourhood and you just can't help it, can you? You just look in the window into a person's house. You don't mean to, I mean, unless you're sort of absorbed on your Facebook account on your phone with your earbuds in, then. But other than that, if you're just walking around, a window's open, you're looking in, is that right? I had a friend who played golf. Now, I don't play golf. They invited me to play golf with them, but I declined because I knew it would take them about three times as long to complete the round if I was with them. About the only reason I would have gone with them is to provide comic relief. But they were going around this golf course down in Clifton Springs, and it was my friend, I think it was Michael, and a local policeman, and they were going around the golf course. And there was this beautiful bay window in a house that was looking onto the golf course. And they looked up carefully, and through the window inside the house, they saw this beautiful, luscious, green, tall marijuana plant. And so the policeman said, "Oh, I'm going to go and visit them on Monday." Because windows give you insight into what's going on, right? That's what shop windows are about. They want to give you an insight about what's inside the shop. Web pages want to give an insight into what's inside there. And in our play, when we looked through windows, we saw an insight of what was in the person's house, whether it was the old woman or the rich man. So windows give us insight. And Christmas is one of those times, not just for looking through shopping windows, but looking through a window of insight. Because Christmas gives us an insight into what God is like. You know, many philosophers might sort of puzzle about what God's like, and other people might proclaim what God's like, but God does more than just that. God, in Christmas, comes and shows us what God is like. If you like, God does show and tell. He tells us what he's like, but he also shows us what he's like. And in some amazing way, he comes down to our level and gives us insight into what God is actually like. It's a bit like if you had young children or you've been around young children and they're playing on the ground. Sometimes what you do as a parent or as an aunt or an uncle or just a family friend is you get down on the ground to their level, right? And you play with them to get down to their level. And Christmas is the insight that we get from the Christmas window is that God becomes one of us so that we can have true information and accurate information on what God is actually like. Christmas gives us an insight into the true nature of God. And we read in the reading that Matthew wrote down, he said, it's like a person, Emmanuel, which means God with us. And that's one of the many deep, profound truths that we see when we consider who Jesus is and what he reveals about God, is that God is with us. So there's a window of insight, but there's also another way that windows work, and that's particularly when you're shopping, right? Or when you're surfing on the web, and that windows are windows of opportunity to save money. You know, how many times have you gone back and say, dear, you'll never guess how much money I saved you today? Has that never happened to you? Have you never used that phrase? Okay, you don't need to admit it this morning. But because shopping windows, they give you not only insight into what's in the store, but they give you an opportunity to buy it. And the Christmas window is exactly the same thing. Not only does God give us an insight into who God actually is, but he also gives us an opportunity to lift us up. That's what parents do, don't they? They either get down with kids to be with them at their level, or they, when the kids hurt their toe or they're hungry or they're tired or whatever else, they lift them up and put them on their hip and hold them close. And in the reading, it said today that he was sent to save us. In that passage, it said from our sins, but when we look at the life of Jesus, he also saved people from bondage and brokenness and exclusion and ill health and ignorance and lack of supply. There's lots of different things that God did. And so as we think about Christmas this year, I encourage you to think about how can I grasp the opportunity to let God lift you up. For those of you who have been around church a long time, the story of Christmas is not anything new. You've heard it over and over again. But as I reflect on it, it never ceases to amaze me that the creator of the universe would do something so humbling and so giving as become one of us. And I just encourage you to find time to think about that, to ponder that. Maybe you don't really know the full story about all of that. Well, you can grab a Bible, and if you don't have a Bible, come and see me afterwards, and I'll give you one for free. That's no problem. And I'll even show you where to read some bits about that, so you can do that. Or, and no, again, at no obligation, you might like to read a bit more. And at the foyer at the front, and on the front pew at the front here, foyer at the back and the front pew here, we have a couple of little booklets. You might like to grab one of those and read them over the Christmas season. You might even like to go to a Christmas Day service or a Christmas Eve service at a church near you. Some way of renewing or discovering for the first time insights into what God is like as revealed in Christmas. But you must almost also might like to just cry out to God and say, God, I need you to lift me up. And you don't have to be religious to pray and ask God to do that. But just in your own way, in your own time, just ask God to lift you up. So that's the Christmas window. It's a window of insight and it's a window of opportunity. And I hope amongst all of the other things that you're doing over the next couple of weeks that you grab hold of both of those. Well, I think it's time for us to sing again. And along with the theme of looking, we're going to sing Hark! The Herald Angels Sing. The choir's going to come up the front again to lead us. And we're coming to the end of our service, so let's really give this all that we've got. Excellent. Haven't the choir been great? Let's give them a round of applause.